Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnish Training proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
My bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your king baby duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. Now, before we begin today's episode, I want to give you listeners who may be attending Anime Boston a quick update. Now, as you may know, I submitted for the game show panel Who Cringed Last, that I do with our wicked anime pals and 42 believer of 42's anime reviews. Well, I received an email from Anime Boston the other day, and as of right now, the panel is on the wait list. Now, that just means that it's currently in the maybe pile, as the schedule is currently being implemented. This happens with Andrew and John Star with their waifu and hardcore anime panels every year, as the panels put on by the guests get first dibs, as they rightfully should be. But I am rather optimistic that we'll be accepted again this year, as we did have an amazing turnout that resulted in having to turn people away from entering. Hopefully we'll have a bigger place next time around so as not to worry about doing such a thing to those poor attendees, and we're actually in the midst of tinkering with it a couple of ways that'll give you a better chance at winning. But please stay tuned for any updates regarding the panel as soon as we have them. Who knows, we might actually be rejected this year. You never know. Anyways, for now, let's begin the show and dive into this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, Amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And today, we're going to start things off with the opening theme to one of my favorite anime series of 2017, and that is Recovery of an MMO Junkie, which I placed at the number 3 spot on my top 10 list. Here's Megumi Nakajima with Saturday Night Question.
Shit that keep in the eye, I'm out of the way, I'll keep that.
their self-titled debut album, that was Baby Metal with Akumo no Rinbukyuku. Rumors have begun of their inevitable third album, so hopefully the Fox God will bless us all soon with such news. A couple weeks back, the Academy Awards announced its nominations for this year's presentation. Looking through the nominees, I do have to give some credit to those who are voting, as well as some pretty harsh criticism for those same voters for some terrible snubbing. So why don't I get the angry rant stuff out of the way first, because I'm pretty sure you know what's coming. I have never fucking seen a more mishmash of good and terrible picks quite like the Best Animated Feature Film category. Once again, anime got snubbed, with the brilliant and timely A Silent Voice not capturing the attention of the voters, despite it being one of the best written and heartstring pulling movies that played in cinemas last year. And the fact that a piece of crap like The Boss Baby, which had roughly 5 laughs total in the entirety of its 90-minute runtime, how did that get nominated? I mean, that was just one of the biggest punches in the face for us anime fans. And who even fucking saw Ferdinand? My godmother's son works for Blue Sky Studios, and I'm sure not even he saw it. But not just A Silent Voice got snubbed. Where the hell's the Lego Batman movie, which was actually the best Batman film probably since The Dark Knight? This happened with the original Lego movie. That one got snubbed too, despite it being a big critical and commercial hit. And you know, if a DreamWorks animated film had to be nominated, Captain Underpants was 100 times better, funnier, and clever than The Boss Baby. If you don't believe me, watch it on Netflix, like right now. Press pause immediately and watch the Captain Underpants movie. It is surprisingly and ridiculously good. But out of all the animated films that were nominated, I would like to see Loving Vincent win, because the fact that they animated that movie with oil painting canvases for each frame is probably one of the most amazing things I've heard be done for movie making last year. Even though Coco's more than likely gonna win. Seriously, fuck you, Pixar. But for films that were nominated that I was happy with, I am so glad to see much love given to both Get Out and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I thought Jordan Peele's horror social commentary film was clever, fun, and actually legit spine-tingling in places. And I've said a lot about my love for Martin McDonagh, who I think should finally get his dues for Three Billboards. And I also really hope Sam Rockwell wins for Best Supporting Actor, too, as he is one of Hollywood's most underrated performers. Though I'm worried he might be canceled out for Woody Harrelson's equally compelling performance in that same film. But we'll have to see what happens when the awards are given out on March 4th, which I'm kind of surprised it's airing so late in the year. Hope for good wins, some big surprises, and maybe a couple of eyebrow-raising moments from its host, Jimmy Kimmel. Should be a good show, even if some of the winners might be bought out by donors and the like. Watch the Adam Ruins Everything segment on a war show to see what I'm talking about. It's quite eye-opening. Anyways, let's return to the playlist. If there's one name in the American indie music scene we should be really paying close attention to right now, it's this guy. His name is John Lindsay, who has just released his latest single about homophobia and racism, all via the perspective of a happy-go-lucky bigot. This is Zebulon.
Got us a dance, let's celebrate. My youngest daughter, she's going away. A big college girl. It's getting late here.
Was Miwa with their 2017 single, We Are the Light. Just a couple weeks ago, the hardworking songstress unleashed another single entitled Live Fast, Die Young, so be sure to check that one out as well. Now, when it comes to Japanese women in the music scene, this next band was one of the groups that wowed me back when this show was just a mere idea. They were called Gitto Gitto Hustler, and they were like a fire rocket that shot itself right into this host's face when I first heard them. Sadly, they disbanded shortly after, with no signs as of late of them reuniting. Oh well, it is what it is. This is from what would be their final album, the 2006 record Love and Roll, and it goes by the name of Amwaka.
Yeah. sucks and rock and roll is dead. So give me some dead punk and give me some head. From LHI touching down in OSL, a 20-minute train ride to heaven or to hell. Back in the big O, bienvenido badasso. Winter's coming on and the nights are getting longer. If this weekend doesn't kill me, it can only make me stronger. My phone is low on juice, but I got boogie woogie shoes. The boys are back from heart attack. You know we're mighty glad to meet you.
Negro with Hot for Nietzsche off of their brand new album Rock and Roll Machine. The Norwegian death punk icons, of course, are gearing up for a world tour in support of this record, so be sure to keep your eyes peeled and your denim nice and clean to see if they're coming to a town near you. Now, in the past, I've spoken out about how American TV is afraid to be more creative with its storytelling. Most shows take a very safe route, churning out the same crap and giving it a different title. You know how I hate how everyone does quirky family comedies, or gritty cop dramas, or overly dramatic medical series? Hell, I wound up dropping The Good Doctor because it got tedious really quickly. Not to mention its portrayal of someone on the higher functioning spectrum of autism was dropping ever so quickly as the series progressed. Try again, Hollywood, although you're destined to fail once more. But during the holiday season, the Sci-Fi Channel, of all channels, gift-wrapped us viewers the kind of show I really wanted to see from American TV producers, and that show was Happy. Starring Christopher Maloney as alcoholic ex-detective Nick Sachs, the show follows Sachs as he's attempting to find a little girl who winds up being his illegitimate daughter. He's got the mafia on his back, a deranged Santa, and a sadistic killer on his tail, and a children's TV host with a very dark secret. And who does Nick have helping him along the way? Why, it's the daughter's imaginary friend, Happy, a winged horse voiced by Patton Oswalt, one of my personal favorite comedians. Happy pushes the limits of what you can do on basic cable. It's really fun, extremely violent, hardcore sexual, and it touches on a butt-ton of disturbing elements that even make my stomach turn in different places. But its presentation and storytelling is some of the very best I've seen on television in ages. They took the gritty ex-cop, which there have been many movies with the gritty ex-cop, but they gave him a Disney sidekick, and it's very hilarious as it'll make you wince while Sachs does his thing. And Richard Corsair is fantastic as the crime boss Francisco Scaramucci, bringing a level of funny whilst keeping a straight face as he's killing cameramen on his sister's reality show or being intimidated by a guy dressed as a giant fly. This is one of those shows where my words don't do justice for what happens on the screen. The dynamic between Maloney and Oswalt is beyond good, even with the personalities of Sachs and Happy clashing in basically every frame of this show. But that's the point. Here's this ex-cop who's seen some shit, and here comes this character that's literally from the land of sunshine and rainbows. And man, it gets fucked up when he meets other imaginary friends. With a turn from veteran voice actor Billy West in what may be his creepiest role yet. Trust me, watch Happy. It is one of the finest examples of a TV show that's not afraid to cross the line that mainstream accessibility created. And the formula seems to work, as it was renewed for a second season. So hopefully that will mean more channels and shows will want to take as big of a risk as this one did. You can catch Happy, hopefully, in reruns on Sci-Fi, and as of this recording, you can find all the episodes on demand to watch via your cable or satellite provider. And I believe it is also on the Sci-Fi website, too, to watch. Just make sure that there aren't any kids nearby as you are viewing it. It's really, really not for them. But right now, let's head back to the music and spin a couple more great tracks. Here's a song from Flo, who will be playing at Anime Boston this spring. Very excited about that, by the way. They were one of the very first bands I played on college radio back in the day. From the album Game, this is Ryusei.
夜空を見上げてみれば
The 5678s with She Was a Mau Mau from the singles collection Bomb the Rocks. The trio are currently re-releasing some of their classic 45s to celebrate their 30th anniversary, with the first two out being of I Walk Like Jane Mansfield and The Barracuda. They did play a few shows in the US last year, but hopefully they'll expand on their trek next time around. But coming up right now are a new dream pop rock group from Kentucky who have attacked our eardrums with their instrumental debut single. They're called Nova Flares, and I'm thinking we should all be keeping a close watch on what they might unleash onto the music scene. Here's their debut track, Gut Splinter.
Oh, 支えに歩いた窓辺に灯る明かりのように俺のこの胸いつもお前が燃えている I love you, okay?
From their Golden Black compilation, that was Guitar Wolf with a rendition of that classic Akichi Yazawa track, I Love You, OK. Seiji and Tora are gearing up for a big European tour this spring, but the question remains as to who'll be their bassist, as Hikaru, the guy who replaced Ugg last year, has already left the band. I guess some bassists can't hold their liquor.Quite like Guitar Wolf can. Anyways, I made a joke about this in the intro part of Wicked Anime's Winter 2018 Must Watch List, but this season has been all about the cute. Campers, ramen noodle aficionados, albino lizard princesses, and babies in general. So much adorable, it hurts.But how about taking something that's never been presented as cute in any light whatsoever? Well, that concept has been brought to light in the new show, How to Keep a Mummy. Now, I don't want to go too deep into this series, as I do plan to have a write-up on it somewhere down the line. But I wanted to take this opportunity to tell you why a series like How to Keep a Mummy appeals to someone in an older age demographic quite like myself.So picture yourself having to work at a job. You're running around like a chicken with its head cut off, appeasing to your boss, your customers, and everyone else that crosses your path. You're on your feet all day, tired, and your energy is tanked, even after downing two Rockstar Fruit Punch energy drinks despite that being the least healthiest thing you can do to your body. Then it's time to go home, with your entire essence worn out and your faith in humanity lost, even more so due to the level of retarded bullshit that spews from customers' mouths. Then, as you plop yourself down, you turn on Crunchyroll or VRV, and there's a show called How to Keep a Mummy, which tells the story of an archaeologist's son who finds himself caring for a teeny tiny little mummy. And the mummy acts like a newborn kitten, doing cute things like helping the kid make a meal, looking to be hugged, and curing a cold just by burying himself in the backyard and coming back up clean as a whistle. And it's just so...fucking adorable. And don't get me started on that Onikani. So pathetically cute. I know it's not the best anime on TV right now, not by a long shot, but How to Keep a Mummy has this sort of soul-healing aspect that just makes you feel good after each episode's finished its run. Whatever stress the day threw your way, this adorable little wrapped-up guy is there to make you feel better.So for all my listeners who are currently in a bad mood, and you feel like your day has gone to complete shit, put on How to Keep a Mummy on Crunchyroll or VRV. You may actually be pleasantly surprised by what this little guy delivers. I know I just said it's not the best of the season, but it is still pretty damn good, very relaxing, and just fucking adorable. Right now, we're going to go on a much folksier route with a song from Eri Sasaki. This serves as the ending theme for one of our favorite anime this season, which I do think is probably the best of the season, Laid Back Camp. This is Fuyu Biori.
She begged and she cajoled, I couldn't tell her what I was thinking of. I didn't choose, no, I was chosen by a life that must be lived in passing through. Though she changed so much for me, changing this is the one thing I cannot do. Darling, I'm leaving. The distance keeps calling me on. Darling, come morning, I'll be gone. She is beauty, she is graceful in her poise, and she is gentle in her care. She is the calm in the center of my storm, she is her fingers through my hair. She has my heart, but it is breaking, cause it knows deep inside she still believes that there will ever come a morning when I'm staying and not gathering to leave. Darling, I'm leaving. The distance keeps calling me on. Darling, come morning, I'll be gone.
Nicely with Ari Sasaki, that was Frank Turner with Wanderlust off of his compilation album The Second 3 Years. Frank Turner will be releasing a new album this May entitled Be More Kind, and will be hitting the road with his Sleeping Souls for a world tour. I'll of course be at one of his 4 more than likely sold out Boston gigs, and I hope you'll all do the same when he rolls into your area. He's honestly one of the greatest performers on the planet. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-Pop Anime and Video Games Amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and on Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration for this week's tracks from John Lindsay and Nova Flares made by Shameless Promotion PR. Thank you, as always, for sending down these amazing artists for us to spin. Tune in this Thursday to another episode of Wicked Anime, where we chat about the Winter 28 shows we dropped from our queue, do a little hunting in Monster Hunter World, and hear news about the return of the greatest kung fu hero in cinema history. You'll be able to find it on the Nerdy Show Network and wherever podcasts get their podcast on. We're ending today's episode with the return of our favorite rock comedians. After nearly a decade of waiting, the Goju Kaitans have unleashed their hotly anticipated self-titled 4th album. And this song pays tribute to one of rock's greatest chameleons. Here are Danny, Dory, and Boggy playing their hearts and funny bones out with David Bowie Okidote. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps. We'll be right back.
けたら Oh oh 君の好きなメロディーがこぼれる月面のデビッドボーイを気取っていつか見てた明日を眺めてるあの日のまま季節は止まったまま内ポケットで埃をかぶってる
guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.